Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Tzadikei. We will begin on Daf Tzadikei, Omar Aleph, seven lines from the top. Says the Gemara quotes what we learned in the Mishnah. Gozel Para Muberes, if somebody stole a pregnant cow for Yolda and it had a baby, or he stole a sheep that had wool in it, and said the Mishnah, you pay the value of a pregnant cow or the value of a sheep with wool. Tana Rabbanan, so says the Gemara, Hagoizes, if somebody stole a sheep, Hagoizel Rochav, Hagoizel Zos, somebody stole a sheep and took off its wool, part of the Yolda, or he stole a cow and it had a baby, Mishalm Oisoi, Vesvila Desa, you have to pay the value of the animal, and it's wool and the baby, that is the opinion of Ramey. And of course, everybody's opinion will be discussed and analyzed in the shir. You have to return the animal as it is. You give back the cow. You give back the cow the way it is now, without the baby. And you give back the wool, without the wool on it. However, Rashi says that even though that's what Rabbi Yehuda is telling us, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that you have to pay for the value of the baby that was born, or you have to pay for the value of the wool that you have kept. The Baal Amor, the Raven, and the Rashba explain that the Braisa is speaking about a situation where somebody stole a cow when it was not pregnant, or stole the sheep when it did not have wool on it, and then the animal became pregnant while it was at with the goslin, or got wool while it was at the goslin. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that you pay back the value, you give back just the animal as it is now, but you don't have to pay. You have to pay for the animal, for the baby that happened while the animal was under your control, or the wool that happened while it was under your control. Rav Shimon says, what Rav Shimon means, we'll see in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, what is the reason the Ramea holds that you have to return not just the animal, but the baby, etc.? Says the Gemara, because it is the opinion of Rav Meir that Shinivim Kaima Aymed, doesn't the fact that there was a change here doesn't mean that what was stolen become the gazlan. That's one option of understanding Ramey's opinion. Idilma, Baal Mashina Koina, that since there was a shinui, so certainly it becomes halachically the property of the gazlan. V'och knasu dekanas, it's a special knas that Chazal instituted because this person did the wrong thing by stealing the animal. Ask the Gemara Lamai Nafkamina, why is the Nafkamina between the two different approaches in understanding Ramey's opinion? So the Gemara Lahecha de Kachash Mechesh, in a situation where the animal went down in value, if we're going to say that Shinui Einakaina, that even though there was a change, it doesn't make it the property of the Gazlan. So here too, even though there was a change to the detriment of the person from whom the animal was stolen, the Gazlan could just say, here's your animal, even though it's worth less, doesn't make a difference. I'm giving you back your animal, case closed. But if we're going to say that Shinui is Eina Koina, and the halacha here is that when it goes up in value, it's a knas that Chazal put into place. So maybe if it's a knas, Chazal only put the knas into place where it goes up in value. But what it goes down in value, that Chazal, of course, will say that at least you have to pay the value of the animal that the animal was worth at the time of the gzeila. So the Gemara tries to answer how to understand the opinion of Rameya from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Vav Amunah Bei says, Toshma gozel pe'emi v'skina, if somebody stole an animal and it got older while it was under the control of the gazlan, Avodim, who stole Avodim, and they got older under control of Gazlan, Mishalim Kishas Agzela, he pays according to what they were worth at the time of the gzela. If somebody stole avodim, he always has the right to say hare shulcha lefanecha. He just gives back the avodim as they are. And the reason Rameyah says it, we're going to learn, because Rameyah's opinion is karka einan gzelus, that property is not something that could be stolen. And Rameyah says that avodim kikakos, that we treat avodim as we treat karka. And just like karka einan gzelus, avodim einan gzolim. And therefore, even if there was a physical change to avodim, it doesn't make a difference, because you certainly could say racial chalafanecha because karka ain't in exelis, says the Gemara. Vilu, when we speak about an animal, the halacha is behek shas exela. You always pay according to what it was worth at the time of the exela, says the Gemara. Visakadatach, if we're going to say tzavra me shinu v'koyme oimid, shinu, that the halacha is that shinui doesn't make a difference, even by an animal, even if there was a change, it shouldn't make a difference. Elalav, the fact that the Mishnah did not make this kind of distinction, and that it does become the property of the gazlan, when it went up in value, it's a special rule, because as we've been saying, knasu dekanis, it's a special knas that Chazal instituted. Says the Gemara, that's not necessarily the way to understand our Mishnah, and therefore the way to understand Rameyah's opinion. Rather, says the Gemara, Amri, Rameyah le devreim de Rabbanan kamalei. Rameyah was addressing the Rabbanan, and was saying, Lididi shina ene koina. Even if there was a change, halachically, it doesn't make a difference. And therefore, according to me, a filu behemanami, even if the animal, whatever the status is, the halacha tells us by an animal that the gazlan can always say hare shulcha lefanecha. A filu behemanami, the gazlan can always say hare shulcha lefanecha. But says the Gemara, Rameyah is addressing the Rabbanan, and the Rameyah is saying to Rabbanan, eladchu, according to your opinion, darmi that you hold that shinui koine, that if something changed, it becomes the property of the ganef. So now my question to you is, oidli miyis ba'avda, that at least by an eved, the askin that got older under the control of the gazlan, the kemakar goy dami, you should agree that avodim are like treated like a kaos, and just like karka, as we said a moment ago, ain't in the gzelis, avodim ain't in the gzelim, karka ain't in the gzelis, after we don't treat avodim like karka, we treat avodim kimatatlan dami. So there's no proof in that Mishnah how to really understand the opinion of Rameyah. So the Gemara tries to prove from a different Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Beis teaches us, Toshma, if somebody gave wool to somebody who dyes wool, and his instructions were letzvoyle edaim, to dye the wool red, and the person did it black, or vice versa. He asked him to do shachar, to do it black color, and he did red. Rameyah Omer, that the person who did it is considered a gazlan. Even though he wasn't his intention to be a gazlan, he just made a mistake in the color that he was asked to dye it. Rameyah's opinion is, Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Chesam Mabeis, that anybody who doesn't follow the instruction that he was given is considered a gazlan. Rabbi Yehuda over there disagrees, and Rabbi Yehuda says that he doesn't have the din of a gazlan. He didn't intend to be a gazlan. He's considered like somebody goes to somebody else's property without permission, and he made it better. And the halacha is that there's a halacha that he doesn't become the owner of the wool, but he does have to get paid either for what he made the wool better, more valuable, or what the expense that he had in the wool, whichever is less. But what we see from here is the Meitz Simrei in that this person has to pay, according to Meir, who he just said he's considered a gazlan, the person who's dyeing the wool, has to pay the value of the wool, the mate simrei v'shefchai, but the value of the wool, how much it improved, loy. Says the Gemara, v'sakadachtach sovra meya, shinu in the koinah, if we're going to say that Rameya's opinion is that a shinui doesn't make a difference, and it's still the owner of the, it belongs to the original owner, so says the Gemara, wouldn't Rameya have to say that the mate samri v'shefchai by mesalei? He has to give him back the wool, and this wool is the person from whom the wool was stolen all along, and he has to give it back to him. The fact that Rameya says you only give back the value of the wool and not the value that it went up because of the coloring, shmami naksav Rameya shinu kaina, that it does become the property of the person who has it, and our Gemara, why he has to pay for the value, why he has to give back the animal and the baby, as we began the shear, is because a special knas to the kakonis, a special knas that Chazal instituted, says the Gemara, shmamino. But as the Rishonim point out, that knas that Ramey is teaching us in our shear that he has to pay was only said, say the Rishonim, in our Gemara, where we started the shear with, where the individual is a gazlin. But in a case where the individual is not a gazlin, the case of the person who just made a mistake, the person who is dyeing the wool, Rameya will agree that in such a case, you only have to pay the value of the wool because he isn't that much of a gazlin. Says the Gemara, but that is a different version, how to understand the opinion of Rameya. Ikad Amri Halei Bailon, this is not a question, what is the reason for Rameya? Clearly, Rameya's opinion is Shinui Koina. That we see from the Mishnah by Avadim, the Rameya holds that Shinui is Koina. Says the Gemara, Mida'apach Rav, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and now Shurim that Rav reversed the opinion of Rameya and the Rabbanan and that Mishnah. V'tani, Gazal Parah V'skinoi, if somebody stole a cow when it got old, Avadim V'skinu, V'sham K'shas Gzela Div Rameya, V'chamram Avadim Ma'imalai Harei Shalchol Lufonecho. Vadai, so we see that clearly Rameya's opinion is that you pay shinui koina, that if something changed, it becomes the gazlins. And that's why he says, Mishalim kishas ha'gzeila. Hocha, now, that's why it becomes the property of the gazlin. The question, hocha, therefore, certainly, in this case, that we began our shir today, it was Mishum knosu de kakonis lei. We don't want the gazlin to benefit from the fact that he stole. And that's why in the shear that we began today, Rameya says you pay the value of the wool and the value of the baby. But what is the question that is indeed left open? Kikai Bailon, what is the question that we have left open? Hachi Bailon, Kikonis Rameya, when Rameya instituted this knas, is it only when somebody did Gzela B'mezit? Ava B'shoigig, if somebody was a shoigig, an example, as we're going to see, is somebody bought a stolen object from the gazlin. So he doesn't know that what he stole, what he bought is a stolen object. So in such a situation, loikonis, Rameya did not institute a knas, or Rameya instituted the knas, afil b'shoigig namikonis, he instituted the knas even b'shoigig. Toshima, says the Gemara, chamisha goyve minim chororim. We know that under normal circumstances, all of somebody's assets become mortgaged to any debts that he has. And therefore, if he has an obligation and then that asset is sold, the person to whom he owes money can go after those assets. But teaches us the Braisa, Chamisha, there are five situations where you can't go after those assets. You could only go after assets that the loiva has himself. Chamisha goyven min ha-mechororim. Ve'elahein, peiris, the peiris v'shvach peiris. The Gemara is going to explain that means in a moment. V'mekabel lov lozen ben ishtoi b'esh ishtoi. If somebody took upon himself an obligation to support his wife, son, or daughter. So when somebody buys those assets, so a very important element in understanding the halacha of nechasim u'shabadim is that if I buy an asset that's mortgaged, I know that I take a risk that since the person from whom I bought this asset owes money to somebody else, there's always the possibility that that asset will be taken away from me. And I should have, could have been prepared for that. But in a case where I had no way of knowing how much of an obligation I have, then I have the nobody could take those assets away. So if I know that the person whom I bought a property from has an obligation of whatever amount of money, I know that if he won't be able to pay up that obligation, so we know clearly how much money is owed, and we know how much of the asset I bought is potentially mortgaged. Potentially there's a lien on that property that I bought for if it will be if the person from whom I bought the asset won't have the ability to pay up. But when we speak about that the person who I bought the property from took upon himself that he's going to support his wife's son or daughter. So even though that's certainly an obligation that he took upon himself, it's not an obligation that has a clear dollar value. Since it's not an obligation that has a clear dollar value, it only can be collected in a chororim. Forget chayiv she'en b'yachrayis, that if when the debt was written, it was clearly indicated that the people whom the person I bought the property from cannot go after properties that were sold. Or a situation where the ksuba was written in a way where there is no achrayis, and what the Bryce is teaching us that you could write an IOU or you could write a ksuba in such a manner. And the Bryce is teaching us that this halacha applies both by a debt and both by a ksuba. Because if we would have learned that it's only by ksuba, we would say by ksuba, the wife could decide that she's willing to have the ksuba written in a way that she can't go after mortgaged assets. But by ashtar choiv, it's always automatic that you go after. We're going to speak about this more in the shir, because certainly nobody borrows money, lends money without that ability. Or we could say the other way around, that by ksuba, Chazal instituted that a woman has the right to collect the ksuba, and included in her right to collect the ksuba is that she could always go after the assets, that there are a lien on them. By a shtar chayv, maybe that's not the way the loan was structured. Says the Gemara, there's a machloikis throughout Shas. The Gemara Masech the Ksubas, Daf Nun Aleph Amabeis, discusses this. If we have a shtar that doesn't have a chrayis, the shtar does not have a clause that you could go, that if the property that I bought from you, if it's taken away from him, that can I go after you, can I go after your assets? Or if I lent you money, can I go after assets that were sold? So if that clause is missing, do we say, the fact that that clause is missing is a proof that that's the way this deal was structured? Or do we say it was a mistake, but every time it's automatically to be assumed that it's there? Says the Gemara, man shamatle, who's the man dom that says surah shas, achrayis laf tosofu, and if it's not there, you can't go after the lekuchas, rameya. And what did it say in this braisa? It said in this braisa, peris v'shach peris, you could only go after b'nei chayim. So now the Gemara makes its point. As we said earlier, the Braisa said the Paris and Shvach Paris, you could go only after Nechosim Mushukhrorim. So first ask the Gemara, Paris and Shvach Paris, Hechidami, exactly what is the case? Says the Gemara, somebody stole a property, and then the person who stole the property, Machro La'achar, sold it to somebody else, Vishbiachai, and the person who bought it, bought this stolen property, made improvements in the property, and now the original owner from whom the property was stolen shows up. So since it shows up, so the person who owns it now, even though he might be very innocent, he loses the property. And now this person who goes back to the gazlin from whom he bought the property, goyves a karam nechosim shabadim, he could go after any assets that the gazlin had, and even assets that the gazlin has sold, he could go after those assets. However, shvach, that's for the amount that he paid for the actual property. But the improvement that this person who bought the property from him, from whom could he collect it? He could only collect it from the Nechasa B'nai Chayrim, which are in the possession of the Gazlan. Says the Gemara, what do we see from here? Da'asa Bal Ara, the true owner of this property, comes with Shokal Ara V'Shavchei, comes and takes the property and the improvement. My love, and says the Gemara, isn't the case that we're discussing here, Ba'ma'oritz, the Layoda the Kaka N'Gzelus or N'Gzelus, the person who bought this property that doesn't know the halacha we said earlier in our shir, the karka ain't in the gzelis, and he thought that even if it's stolen property, it becomes his. But filohachi, even though he bought stolen property, and he improved the stolen property, what do we see here? Kosabal karka v'shokalar v'shivcha. The owner could take back the property and the improvement. So we see that even though the person who purchased the property did not know he was doing anything wrong, he thought that he had every right to buy the property, still, b'shogig namikonis. So the Gemara, that's not the way we should understand the Braisa. Amri loy. We're going to explain the Braisa that the person who bought the stolen property was a Talmud Chacham, the Yoda, and he knows that stolen property is never really become the possession of the person who bought it. So he knew that this property is not his. And that's why when he buys such a property, Chazal instituted the knas. But that doesn't mean that will be the halacha under all circumstances. So the Gemara brings another raya to answer the question, when did Ramei make a knas? Did he only make a knas by Mezid or even Beshagik? Toshma, the case that we spoke earlier in our shir, the Mishnah Daf Kufa Mabez, where somebody gave wool to the person who dyes the wool, Litzfoyle Edoim, to dye it red, Vitzava Shachar, Shach Vitzava Edoim, Remeya Omer, Noisle Demet Simroi, that the person who colored it only has to pay back, the person who colored it is considered a gazlan, and he only has to give back the value of the wool. What do we see from here? As we said earlier in our shir, the mate simray in, you only have to give back the value of the wool. The mate simray v'shifchay, the value of the wool and its improvement loy. Says the Gemara of Yisal Kedatach, if we're going to say Ramei's opinion is, that b'shogig nami kavanos, so this person who dyed the wool the wrong color, indeed is a mistake. But if we're saying the Ramei says a knas even b'shogig, then the halacha ought to be the mei tzimroi v'shifchei boi l'meisavlei. And as we said earlier in our shir, even though this person to a great degree is innocent, he made a mistake with the instructions, it shouldn't make a difference. Because Ramei, as we said earlier in our shir, based on the Gemara Masech B'Metzia, says that even the person who is a gazlan by mistake is a gazlan. Elav shmamina. What do we see from here? The Meza Kanas, the Shagigloi Kanas, Shmamino. We learned earlier in the Shir, we began the Shir, that Yehuda's opinion was that if somebody stole a sheep and he cut off the wool, or he stole a cow and the cow had a baby, we have to pay back the value of the animal with the wool with the baby. That was Ramei's opinion. Yehuda Mgzela Kaiseris Beinel. Posh Pshat, Yehuda said, we give back how much it's worth now. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Roy Noisei Kilishum Etzla B'Kesef. So ask the Gemara, and by asking this question, ultimately we will understand both what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say and Rabbi Shimon meant to say. Ask the Marmai B'Nayu, what is the difference in halacha between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Says the Gemara, Omer of Zid, B'Shvach Shalgab Gzeil Kamifki. He stole an animal that wasn't pregnant. And now the animal is pregnant, or not an animal has wool in it, and when the person wants back his animal, the animal is still pregnant. The animal still had the wool on it. Rav Yehuda Savar, the Nigzal Havi. Rav Yehuda says that it belongs to the person, to the victim. Rav Shimon Savar, the Gazlan Havi. And Rav Shimon's opinion is that it belongs to the person who stole it. There is a machlokes rishonim. Here we're speaking about a case where when he stole the animal, it didn't have any wool on it. When he stole the animal, it wasn't pregnant. What would be the halacha if when he stole the animal, it was already pregnant or it had the wool? Is there going to be in that case as well a machlokes of Yehuda and Shimon? The Rashba and the Tosfos Rit say that everybody agrees, Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon will agree that if he, when he stole the animal, was already pregnant or had wool on it, it belongs to the Gazlan. Not all Rishonim agree with them. But Papama, the Kulama, that's not the Machlokus of Yehuda and Shimon. Rather, he says the Kulama, everyone agrees, Shvach shal gzeila the Gazlan hava. What happened while it was under the control of the Gazlan belongs to the Gazlan. The question here is a different question. Whatever improvement the animal got, the wool, the government got pregnant, is completely, says Rav Yehuda, the Gazlan have. It belongs to the Gazlan. Rav Shimon Sover, how can we give it completely to the Gazlan? Just like we had very often in Shas, the case of a sharecropper. And how do we understand the case of a sharecropper? We have a person who has the property, and we have a person who takes care of the property, and there's a division, a percentage division, between these two people. Says the Gemara, says Rav Shimon, here the animal belongs to the person from whom it was stolen. The improvement was done by the Gazlan, so we should have the same percentage different. We should have the same percentage division. Ask the Gemara on Rav Papa's explanation. Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Gazal Parav in Zaba Etzloi Vyoldo, if somebody stole a cow, it became pregnant when it was by the Gazlan and had a baby. Rochav in Nitla Etzloi Gazloi, he stole a sheep and it got wool, and then it went up, and then he cut it. Bishan Kshas Gzela. He pays what it was, as it was at the time of the Gzela. And he keeps, the Gazlan keeps the wool, keeps the baby. Says the Gemara, what is this price presumably teaching us? Yolde in, only if the animal had the baby before he's returning it. Lo yolde, but if the baby was not yet born, hadra be'ena, you return it the way it is. So makes the Gemara's point. Bishlam lir zvidam, shvach shal gabi gzela, the nigzel hava, anything that's on the animal, when you're returning it to the Gazlan, belongs to that, returning it to the person from whom it was stolen, that's Rabbi Huda's opinion. So says the Gemara, Hamani, this Mishnah will clearly be following Rabbi Huda the way Rav Zvir explains Rabbi Huda's opinion. El Rapapad Amad the Gazlan Hava, that everybody agrees that if it happened while it was by the Gazlan, it belongs to the Gazlan. Hamani, so then whose opinion will this Brisa be following? Loi Rabbi Huda, Loi Rabbi Shimon. Answers the Gemara, Amalek, Papa, who I didn't, I feel lo yoldo. Even if they didn't have the baby, Nami, Shas, Hagzela, Dumshalm. You only have to pay the value it had at the time of the Gzela. I, Vahagatani yoldo. I, it says that only if the baby, if the animal was born, if the baby was born before you gave it back. Presumably, if it wasn't born, if the baby wasn't born before you give it back, the halach is you're going to have to give back the pregnant animal to the person from whom you stole it. Says Mar, no. It's because I did Nasav Reisha, where it talks about an animal that you stole that was already pregnant, that there it says, Yolda, that if it had the baby when it's by the Gazlan, you only have to give back the value of a pregnant animal. You don't have to give the baby. That's why Nachat Sefer Nami Yolda. Says the Gemara, furthermore, Tanya Kavosei the Rapapa, the Braisa clearly supports Rapapa's opinion, in how we understood Rav Shimon, because the Braisa says, Reisha, Rav Shimon Omer, We divide the value between the gazlan that he put in the work and the nigzel who the animal belongs to him. Says the Ma'amar of Ashi Kavina Rav Kahana, when we were learning in the yeshiva of Kahani Boilon Rav Shimon, according to the opinion of Shimon that we just learned, Amal Mechzel Shish Reviya, who the shokel gazlan, that the gazlan takes as much as he put in. Kimasal Kinalei. So now the question is, he's deserving to get reimbursed for what he put into the animal, whether getting pregnant, whether getting wool. How do we pay up that obligation? But the Mei Masal Kinalei, or Dumma Mebasra Shokel? Do we just pay him up whatever it was worth, or does he get a share? Or does he get a share in this in the animal? Says the Gemara, and the Gemara and the Rishonim point out. Tosfos points out that this question is only according to Reb Shimon, but according to Reb Yehuda, that we said that the gazlan gets everything, so certainly he gets a share of the meat, and he just has to give the value to the person. The question is according to Reb Shimon. And the Gemara says, a number, a situation, Pashtana, Mihadar of Nachman Mishmul, Shloish Shomer Lam Es HaShevach, there are three situations where somebody gets back his investment, but Ma'alon Eisem Adam, they only get it in cash, not from the actual value. Ve'elein, B'chol HaPashut. We know that if there's a property that a father left, that he left when he died, so, and to make the case as simple as possible, the father left two sons, a Bechor and the next son. So we know the Bechor gets a double portion. So this property should be divided into three. Till the property was actually divided, they improved the property. So this Bechor deserves two-thirds of that improvement. The halacha is that improvement he doesn't get from the property itself. He's owed the money from the other brother. Or, b'chayv l'lekeach, somebody put up his property for a mortgage, and then he sold the property. So the halacha is, if the person doesn't have any other assets from where to be collected, we go after the lekuchas. And if the lekeach, the person who bought this property, put improvements in it, he gets back that investment. Certainly he gets back the investment from whom he bought it. But he doesn't deserve to get it in property. He could give it to him just with value. Or b'chayv l'yisoymim. The halacha is that if somebody owed money and he died, we collect the property he left over from the yisoymim to pay off his debts. But anything that the yisoymim did to improve that property, they deserve to get that paid back, but they don't get it from the property, they only get it from cash, says the Gemara. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Miyam Shmuel. So now the question is, that Shmuel doesn't mention a gazlan. So Tosfos explains, and that is the opinion of most Rishonim, that even though the case of a gazlan was not mentioned, there's no reason to treat a gazlan different than anyone else, and that the halacha is that the gazlan, any improvements that he's going to get according to Reb Shimon, the Mechzel Shlish Reviya, he's going to get from the cash, not from the property itself. However, the opinion of the Ravid is that the Gemara is to be understood differently. The fact that this Braisa only mentioned these three cases, but the Braisa did not mention the case of a gazlan, is indicative, says the Ravid, that by gazlan, the halacha actually will be that he doesn't just get the cash, that the gazlan, according to Reb Shimon, will get what he's owed from the property itself. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. Miyam Shmuel, b'chayv l'keich yovel eshvach. Is Shmuel's opinion that the person who invested, the person who bought the property, and now has to return it to the person who has a mortgage on it, is allowed to collect the improvement? But ask the Gemara, v'amishmu b'chayv, goyv is a shvach. The b'chayv takes the improvement, and he doesn't have to return that investment. Answers the Gemara, amalei lo kasha. Pan b'shvach ha-megil k'sfasayim, kan b'shvach she'em megil k'sfasayim. when the produce that grew from the field is already ready to be cut, so then the person who bought that property, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, that is deserving of that improvement. But we're learning he gets it from cash. Where it isn't ready to be cut, then he doesn't deserve it. There are Rishonim that say, Tosfos explains, any improvement that came because the person who bought the property invested Sfasayim, he put his effort into making that improvement, he collects. Any improvement that didn't come with hard work, he doesn't collect. Amalei, so Ravina said to Rashi, V'chamayis b'choyoyim, v'chamagvi shvul, afilu shvacham agil l'sosayim. He take, that the Baal Chayv takes everything, and he doesn't give the person who bought the property and made this investment to the property anything in return. Amalei, so Rashi says to Ravina Lakasha, Had the masik beikishir arav shivcha. When does Shmuel say that the Baal Chayv takes it all? Is when the improvement is in amount that it's still owed to him. Ha, the masik by el kishir ara. But if he's not owed more than the value of the property, since he's not owed more than the value of the property, so the extra he has to reimburse to the person who bought the property. Amalei hanich leman dama. That even if the lekeach has the ability to pay off the Baal Chayv and say, I'll keep the property, the Baal Chayv could say, well, I have a mortgage on this property and I have a right to take the property, shaper. So we could understand that the Baal Chayv takes the property, and now we have to see, is the property equal to the amount that he was owed, or more than the prop, or with the improvement, it's equal to more than he was owed. Elamandami isle zuzu lekeach, that if the lekeach has cash available, matzim salk lel bal choiv, he could always tell the bal choiv, I'll give you the cash, lemele. So why can't the lekeach tell the bal choiv? If I had the cash available, what would I have done? Have masakin le mikula ara. I wouldn't let you come to this property at all. I would just give you the money that you owed, and I would keep the property. Hashed up, now, where I don't have that ability to do so, at least give me the ability, havli gruy the Irish, shir shivchoy, give me a piece of property for the amount that I put into it. Amalei, hachal ma'eskinen, here we're speaking about a case, says the Gemara, the mashvilei apoitiki, that the property, that it was designated to be from where you will collect this loan. Damalei, where the loiva told the malva, the person to whom he's owed money, you're only going to be able to collect from here, which means as follows. It means that even if we'll suggest that under certain circumstances, the person who brought the property has always the right to say to the other person, well, take the money, because I'll pay you with money, now with property, that's only when it wasn't designated as an apoitiki. But if it was designated as a apoitiki, and the Rishonim point out, there are two types of an apoitiki. One type of apoitiki is that he said, this is from where you're going to be able to collect. But it wasn't an apoitiki mefurish. Apoitiki mefurish means that he designated a very specific piece of property, the piece of property that we're discussing here. And there, the halach is that even if the lekeach has money, he doesn't have the ability to say, well, to the Baal Chayv, take the money and leave me on the property. And therefore, since he doesn't have the right to say that to the Baal Chayv, similarly, once he loses the right to say that to Baal Chayv, included in that is saying, you need to pay me for the improvements, but I can't demand that it should be paid. It can't be demand to be paid from the property itself, but rather he could just give him cash to reimburse him for the improvements that he made. The Shas of Chuvus van Huggis for a Moshe Sternberg Shlita, Chelik Bey Simon Tuf Pei Gimel, discusses a situation which is somewhat similar to what we're learning in our Shia today. He says that somebody had not given Meiser from his earnings for a very long time. And now, He realized that he made a mistake all these years not giving Maaser, and he wants to do better and give Maaser. The question is, as we're learning in our Shiurim, what do we take from a Gazlan and what don't we take from a Gazlan? Can we force the person that didn't pay off his loan, that didn't pay Maaser all these years, to have to pay the Maaser? We're learning in our Shiur what can be collected from a Gazlan and what can't be collected from a Gazlan. Says Rav Moshe Sternbuch, because the obligation to give Maaser b'zman hazeh is only a minig, and because we learned in our previous Shiur that Chazal, and we're going to learn in our coming Shiurim, that Chazal were concerned, Chazal were concerned about Takanos HaShavim, whatever he could give will be adequate, and he doesn't have to make a calculation of every penny of Maaser he would have to give.